Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
Thanks for that, Jim. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. My guest today is my good friend and colleague, Dr. Greg Jantz. He's from the Center, a place of hope out of Edmonds, Washington. Greg, what a delight to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, and do we ever have an important topic?
Yeah, Greg, we do. You know, Greg, it's a different world. It's been a tough go of it for the last couple of years. I think everybody's exhausted. I hear a lot of people using the term emotionally shot. You know that? On edge. I think people are confused, they're frustrated, they're discouraged, they're angry. It was only intuitive too, Greg, that somewhere in the midst of all this, we would begin to see spikes in mental health related issues, and man, have we seen that. I just wanted to ask you up front, Greg, what are you seeing as you canvass the country, as you talk to people, as you and your ministry reach out and help a lot of people?
That's right. And you've said it so well, Tim, when you say that we're in a mental health beyond crisis, an epidemic. And so we've seen this, particularly post-pandemic, every issue, the acuity is higher, the needs are higher, and the need for services, good services, is higher. What are we seeing? Well, we are seeing people who are using the terms, I've had enough. I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted. So we're seeing a lot of emotional exhaustion. The guy I talked to the other day goes, you know what? It takes energy just to get up and breathe. So that's a sign you're in burnout. But you know, most of us, like if we're stressed out, we just keep going. We just keep going. And then we hit burnout and we keep going, but we crash. And so we're seeing more people who they're crashing because of the burnout in their life. Their sleep is affected. Self-care is affected, relationships are. So burnout's an old word, but it really is appropriate for what we're seeing now.
Greg, I remember when Richard Swenson came out with that book a few years back called Margin, and how all the margin was gone. And he really introduced this to our world, if you will. And you and I serve in that mental health space, and we also know that for like counselors, mental health providers. They're overwhelmed. Since the pandemic hit, they're so booked and they're so exhausted and they're stacked up so deep that this self-care thing has really become important. And people, this whole topic of burnout has surged back, if you will. You've got a new book out called Beyond Burnout, Regain Your Passion and Energy. I thought, okay, we're going to need about a triple dose of whatever it is Greg's going to offer up today. But Greg, hey, as we get started, I think everybody listening can turn this up. I'm thinking about burnout's just not an issue at work. This is a big-time issue at home. I talk to a lot of mothers who feel exhausted. We host our Extraordinary Women Conferences, and we hear it a lot. My daughter, Megan. Megan is a PA provider in dermatology, and she's got two little girls, our granddaughters, Olivia and Sophia. And she said, Dad, I am absolutely exhausted. I am just absolutely frazzled at times, like on edge. Becky Thompson, who has been on with us many times, Greg, has that Midnight Moms piece up on Facebook. She's got over 2 million followers. And what they do is encourage moms who feel overwhelmed, stressed, and they pray together and more. Greg, it's obvious something's cooking here. Start us down the road. How do we know when we're fried? When this is, yeah, we're beyond the edge.
We're on the edge. Well, you described it so well. And Megan represents so many moms, and it's not just moms, but sometimes we feel like we're in an impossible situation. And we're realizing, okay, I get up this morning and I push myself through, and but I skip breakfast, and I'm doing 10 cups of coffee instead of one or two. You know, everything, I'm trying to cope. Then I start to notice I'm waking up during the night. I can't seem to stay asleep. I used to work in sleep research, and mental health and sleep is really a key. We also know that you're going to feel probably more irritable. It's like, I don't have the capacity that I once had, and everything is an irritant to me. So that can be a real factor. If you look at the signs and symptoms of burnout, they may be very similar to what depression looks like. And that's why untreated burnout can take us down that road of some depression. And one of the things we have to do is we're trying to do this alone, and we isolate. And you know what? More than ever, we need each other.
Greg, I have some visions or images in my mind of people who've kind of lost their motivation. We've heard of like kids burning out in sports. They get pushed too far. Next thing you know, it's for the love of the game piece is gone. I mean, they don't enjoy going to the ball field anymore. What used to bring them a lot of hype and excitement, it's like drudgery. I don't even want to get up. I don't even want to get in the car. I don't want to, you know, go to practice. This motivation piece begins to fade, doesn't it? Isn't that a key factor?
Yeah. And that's part of what I mean. We say we don't have the capacity that we once had if we're burned out. And the motivation, it's like it takes everything just to get going. And you begin to go, okay, what is wrong with me? Because I used to be able to handle all this. What's wrong? And you mentioned the little burnout book. When we're burned out and we're fried's a good description, our concentration gets off. And that's why we had to do something that was like 100 pages, because you need the information, but concentration's difficult. And there you are, you're at the dentist office and your kid is getting a dentist appointment. You're sitting there in the lobby and you have 15 minutes and you need some reprieve. You need 10 minutes to read a short chapter.
I've been there. I've been to that place where it's like everything that was kind of routine is beyond exhausting now. Let me throw around a couple other words too, Greg, that I've seen that you talk about, and I hear from a lot of other people. A numbness. Where there used to be joy, I've kind of just numb out on it. It doesn't do anything really particularly for me. When I'm around other people, they kind of drain me. I feel like everybody's taking from me. Edgy, I've seen people who are burnt out get to a place where they're just not fun to be around, maybe a little angry at times. They got teeth, they smile at you, and it's like, I mean, and growling almost, you know. Things that used to be maybe a one or two in my life are like threes and fours now. You know,
right.
I mean, it's just like, you know. And Greg, there's this pattern in here where it's like, even when I take time off maybe to refuel, it's not working either. It's like when I try to dial things back. I'm not gonna go tonight to the Bible study. I'm exhausted. I need a break. But I'm not getting recovery, if you will. That's the stuff that's starting to really spin, isn't it?
Oh yes. When we're in burnout, the things that used to restore us or renew us no longer do that. And so you described that so well. And that's really a sign. Okay, if I can't get my joy back, I can't get my energy back, I've got to look at some other options. What do I need to do? Sometimes I have to do a little intervention on myself. And I'm going to just tell you from personal experience, I had my burnout crash. Now, it was a few years ago. It was 1989. But I crashed. I had good intentions. I was trying to do everything, but I had a significant burnout crash. And I think even to get myself back physically, you know, that's a year of recovery of changing habits. And
Greg, when you say you had a crash, what did that look like? I know you and I've had this conversation before. You shared with me because I've pushed myself to the edge a lot. And you shared this personal journey for you, but when you say I had a crash, what did that look like?
Well, I no longer was practicing very well the things that I was preaching or the things I would recommend for a client. I wasn't able to do myself, and I was also on the edge of I'm looking for my escape, my escapism behavior. So if I'm burned out, I look for things to cope. You know, it's like, okay. I can hardly wait to get home and have my half gallon of ice cream as well, right? You start looking for escape, but the escapes we look for usually are self-destructive. And so that pattern and the pattern for me was, well, I'm doing 6 days a week and embarrassingly Sunday afternoons as well. So there was no restoration.
What were your family members saying to you or about you? Did they notice that you were in a spin?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. In fact, it was my wife that probably threw the life preserver, and she said, "It's enough is enough, and I'm going to take over your schedule, and you're going to be going and getting some help." And I chuckle because I needed that intervention, and I needed somebody to help put some boundaries around me because I really was not doing a good job. I remember having so much self-doubt. So I needed somebody to intervene in my life. And then secondly, to hold me accountable. So I became pretty engaged in exercise, nutrition. I had a person, just what we do here at the center, I had a nutritionist help put together a plan for me. And I have to tell you, it was not easy to do it at first, but 3 months into it, man, I'm starting to feel a lot better.
Yeah. Greg, you had mentioned earlier the word depression, that you can get into a spin in burnout where that sadness, that overwhelming sense of doom, maybe like a wet blanket's on you, it's hard to find joy. It's more kind of an Eeyore type of life. It's like, I don't know. I guess maybe we'll have to go to work. I'm not sure things are going to be okay anymore. And by the way, the inertia piece begins to cycle itself. In other words, this pattern starts building on top of it, and things that you had to manage and keep going are now spinning and getting out of control, and then you really feel like shutting down. Greg, I'm going to go back to the stats just for a moment. I know one of those in your book said that 70% of workers reported burnout in the last year. I believe that. I believe it's true. And I think it's even more so in our homes. People are flat exhausted. Greg, let's go to the other side of let's talk about strategies. You talked about getting back on purpose, if you will. In a burnout spiral, you lose your sense of purpose and identity is what starts happening. And the world around you feels like it's pressing in. How do you stop that? How do you stop this kind of death spin?
Well, I'm going to say, put a plan together and we'll help with the plan. But after 30 days, if you're not doing the plan, it's time to ask for help. So be willing to ask for help. I want to have the right kind of counselor. I want to have the right kind of help. There's times I need to have some things checked out medically. What if I've been so stressed out that my hormones are off and my thyroid is not functioning well. My adrenals are exhausted. So there's times we need to look at, okay, what's going on physically, and begin to get some feedback. You know, one of the first things I'm going to do is, am I able on my own to adjust my schedule? Can I limit my commitments? Am I able to do that? Can I make a list of things that I can commit to now?
But what if you feel like, Greg, you can't, that you're going so hard and so fast and so furious and your margins are so thin and your husband, for example, isn't pitching in to do the work and you feel like it's all falling on your shoulders?
And it may be. And that may be the reality of the situation. We don't, you know, a lot of times when we're burnout, we deny just how bad it is. But let's take a look, an honest look, how bad this really is. And so that's where I say there's a time that I, and remember, it's healthy people that ultimately ask for help. So you may need to ask for help. Just find out, what are the options? Having somebody that you can explain what's going on that can help strategize with you and help with some accountability. And to put a plan together, that there's a point where we have to do that because we're going to move towards that depression. We might move towards more despair and just feeling really despondent. We want to stay away from that edge.
I like it. You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host, along with my son, Zach. Our special guest today is Dr. Greg Jantz. He is the founder and leader of what's called the Center, a Place of Hope in Edmonds, Washington. And I have referred a lot of clients to through the years. Greg's a great friend. They have an incredible therapy program up there in Edmonds, and I highly recommend it, by the way. It's called the Center, again, a Place of Hope. New book out called Beyond Burnout, Regain Your Passion and Your Energy. I love it. Greg, you know, in our world, we often talk about what's called the Messiah complex. I think burnout is in that deal right there, that you have to be all, you're the end all, and you carry all the buckets. And if you don't, the world's going to fall apart. Somehow you've got to step away from that for a moment and realize you're not that good. You're not going to be able to win at that level. It's going to kill you. And so as you step out, and this is, I think, where you were going. You've got to take a look at me here for a moment, the me factor. I remember Diane Langberg, who is a trauma therapist, one of the best in the world. And Diane was talking one time about what is our calling in this life, to love God and love others. And then she looked at me and she said, Tim, make sure you keep them in that order. And I thought about it for a moment. Wait a second. She's saying, do not, quote, place your love for others ahead of your love for God. In other words, in our lives first. And it was a book, a devotional she wrote, that we've got to, quote, anchor ourselves. In other words, if you're not getting fuel, you can't give what you don't have, Greg. And so when you've gotten to the edge of burnout, you've exhausted yourself. And that's the problem here. You're not getting refueled. You're not getting life poured back into you. And so you're saying, stop the insanity process, put a stake in the ground, and figure out that you're in trouble, and then, hey, we better start getting some gasoline back into this tank, or we're not going to go very far down the road.
And you may find that there are what I call overcommitment issues. So maybe you need to pull out that notepad, and here are the things that I'm scheduled, here are the things I'm committed to. Where am I, and have an honest discussion with yourself, where am I overcommitted? And so there are some things I would suspect, it might be hard at first, but you can take them off your list. So you said it so well, Tim, when you said the Messiah complex, I have to do it all. And sometimes that's what really gets us in trouble. That's part of what got me into trouble.
Something that goes with this is the whole praise and criticism thing, that if we're driven by what we do and what others think of us, then we're hypersensitive to praise and criticism. And so if you're in a spin and then people are coming at you now and it's personal or what have you, you know what happens up on social media, Greg, all that craziness, it drives people crazy. It does. And that, by the way, keeps that amygdala firing at an intense level, and then your mind won't turn off. You've said this yourself many times. It's a key statement in mental health. Pay attention to what you're paying attention to. Uh-oh, if I'm giving myself to all this insanity, no wonder I can't shut it down, and I can't get a stake in the ground, and I can't reorient myself, and I can't get boundaries up in my life, because that's where I'm getting killed.
Absolutely. Well said. And one of the things that happens is we become impulsive or reactive, and it will affect our relationships. And so there's a point, and we forget who we are. We forget who God made us to be. We forget our gifts, our talents, and self-doubt just floods in. So you question everything, and your thinking gets really distorted. So we need to come back to, okay, what's my anchors in my life that are going to keep me? Granted, this could be an extremely challenging time for you, extremely challenging. And we all have seasons of that and things that are happening that feel out of your control. And so we do need to come back to what are my anchor points? What am I doing to keep my mind renewed, for example? And maybe I don't feel like it. Maybe I don't feel like reading the Bible, or I don't feel like I'm praying, you know, but I've got to get back to the anchors in my life. And probably that's going to come through a certain person or people in your life. We all should have 3 to 5 people that really know what's going on for us, that are people that we can be holding great confidence and trust, who also will help keep us accountable. So examine those relationships that are life-giving. Or are you surrounding yourself with just draining relationships, and that's adding to this burnout?
Greg, we're fighting time on today's broadcast. Tomorrow, I want to look at 6 ways to overcome burnout that you have set forth in your book. Maybe a closing thought here, Greg, is I've often heard this at ministerial conferences, and we've heard certainly at the AACC, the American Association of Christian Counselors. You got to be thinking about disengaging daily, withdrawing weekly, monthly, and yearly. And Greg, again, congrats on your new book, Beyond Burnout, Regain Your Passion and Energy. Set us up just a little bit. Give us a tease on these 6 ways to overcome burnout that we're going to talk about tomorrow.
Well, we need to have a simple plan. So we're going to outline a simple place to begin to help you realign, and you can do it.
Greg, as always, on behalf of Zach, our entire team here, we salute you, appreciate the good work that God's doing in and through you, and we really appreciate our partnership, our relationship together. Again, Dr. Jantz heads up the Center, A Place of Hope in Edmonds, Washington. You want to check that out online and more. If you or someone you love is in trouble, the Center has been a, quote, anchor in modern-day Christianity. Greg, thanks again. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit AACCFoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.